Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Talking Wealth, the show where the wealth within team are on hand to teach you how to become a more confident, competent, and more importantly, profitable trader or investor. Wealth Within was voted number 3 for stock market podcast globally in 2018, so I hope you enjoy listening. This episode is a recording of our live YouTube weekly stock market show. Every Tuesday night, Dale and Janine stream live on YouTube from 7 to 8pm to answer your most burning questions, as well as analyse stock for our viewers. To watch the show, head over to wealthwithin.com.au and click on the Stock Market Show under the Learning Centre. As a global leader in stock market education, you can fast track your journey towards financial freedom by studying with Wealth Within. Please note that the information in this podcast should not be considered personal financial advice.
Good evening and welcome to Wealth Within Live, the Australian stock market show where you ask the questions and we give you the answers to all things trading and investing. Now tonight we've got some special things on the show for you. It's a big night, Dale.
it's always a big night when you're here.
We've got lots lined up. We're going to look at the sectors and indices in the Australian market. We'll also share with you how to avoid the biggest mistake that people make when trading. Can you guess what that is?
Starting.
It's a failure in identifying the trend in markets or stocks. Now, I bet you didn't know that it was that one. Tonight, we'll also answer your emails, take your questions, look at stocks you are interested in, give you our expert opinion, and a whole lot more. If you can absorb all that, you're doing well. So sit back, relax, and get ready for another great Australian stock market show. Now, I'm Janine Cox, if you didn't already know, if it's your first night on the show, senior analyst here at Wealth Within. And joining me tonight is Dale Gillam, and we're Australia's most trusted stock market educators.
Thanks for that nice introduction, Janine. I thought that was pretty good, since you haven't done it for a couple of months. So that was pretty good from that. But given that you're not really back full time at present, I'm pretty sure you've not seen all the feedback on last week's show. We had a lot of people saying how they missed you over the past two months. And how good the show was now that you were back. Now, I thought that might be insulting me or complimenting you. It's like, Dale, we're glad Janine's back because we'll get back on track.
Oh, fantastic.
We got a lot of emails and people going, wow, it's good to see Janine back.
That's lovely, the show to was be awesome. Back. Yeah. Thank you for having me back.
No, I love it when you're here. So, but from that point of view, but it is really, really, really good to have you back here and just going through everything there. So, which is fine. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. So I'm not sure about you. Do you want to give me that?
Yeah,
thing?
You need to put your questions in the chat box tonight. If you subscribe, then by all means, ask lots of questions. You'll help us. The more detailed you can be, the better. So don't just put the stock code in. Make sure that you also put in what your question is. So remember that every second Tuesday of the month, we're going to have a good look at the sectors in the All Ordinaries Index. We should have those charts up on the screen for you shortly. And it's been a big couple of months, hasn't it, on the market, Dale?
Well, it has. You know, I think whilst you're away, as I said, you know, the market was quite bearish and, you know, it really was. A lot of people were, you know, emailing in saying, wow, you know, what's going on? What's happening? You know, the market was down this much. Should I be selling? Should I be doing, you know, buying? Should I be waiting for the market to have a bottom and then get back into it? You know, they were doing all sorts of stuff, you know, in terms of what should they be doing? So it's great to have you back here.
Thank you.
With us so we can really, really discuss it. But as Janine mentioned, you know, when we get into the show, just make sure you put some stuff into that chat box, ask your questions, but make sure you put some detail
in. The
only
bad question is one that you don't ask, isn't it, really?
Well,
that's
true.
The wrong question.
Well, it is the one. It's not asking the question that is the bad one anyway. But just do put your questions down there. But I know it's the second week of the month. So the second week of the month means we're actually doing the sectors within
to told me that we were doing that already. So the guys out there, they know what we're going to do now.
Did they?
So yeah.
Well, they must be
keeping up to date with what we're doing.
Okay, fantastic then. So, all right. So if you're going to take it away into the sectors, yep?
I will.
All right, so let's get into the sectors and then we'll come back and start answering all your questions.
All right, now you can see there on the screen, I've got the consumer discretionary sector for the Australian market. You can see how bullish it's been, just like the broader market. So since December, we saw that big low. Now, often we can see bigger pullbacks in areas of the market like this that can tend to be a bit more volatile when the market does pull back. So we can see there was a 22% decline on this sector during that fall. But more recently, we've seen a bullish run. We made a new high here, but not a new all-time high. So you'll note on the monthly chart, and I'll just bring that up, because as you know, we've always got to be looking at the bigger picture time frame. You can see there on the left there, there's the all-time high there in May 2007. And we're still nowhere near that level, Dale. So
no.
Still further upside to go in the discretionary sector, I think. Now, looking at the energy sector, is the next one on the chart there. You can see been very volatile, mining and energy. Has been knocked about quite heavily by commodity prices. As we know, the oil price had come back, and we've seen iron ore, that's been quite volatile as well. So you've got to expect that to be the case and to happen. But these are the areas where you can make some really good money if you're keeping an eye on them.
Well, that's what I was saying to them last month on the second Tuesday. We looked at the best performing sectors over this year, and then we looked at the returns on the worst ones. And we're saying, where are the opportunities going to happen? And we just said, well, it's going to be in energy, it's going to be in materials, it's going to be in financials.
So you were giving them clues, were you?
Yeah, I was giving them a few clues. I don't tell them everything. Okay. I don't tell them the really important stuff. From that point of view, it's like I was saying to them that everything runs faster and slower. Not all sectors will run fast all at the same time. And so those that weren't running as fast, like energy, financials and materials, they'll play catch up. Mm.
It's funny, isn't it? Because a lot of people think, okay, whatever's hot, that's what they're going after.
Yeah, but it's the wrong way to do it.
That's right.
I know often people buy stuff after it's gone. And it's like, remember probably earlier this year, everybody was saying, I've got to get into the US market. I've got to get into the US market.
Too late.
It was way too late. The US market, the S&P 500's gone sideways since January 2018. So they were telling us, towards the end of last year and early this year, I've got to get into the US market because it's done so well. It's done 40% over the last so many years, but it's only done 9% in the last 18 months.
I think
months.
Now that you've showed them those stats and those examples we've given in previous sessions, that now they're going to think twice about them.
Well, yeah, it's almost like if your next door neighbour is telling you you've got to get into a stock, that means stay out of it. And if they tell you to stay out of a stock, that's probably meaning to get into it. And it's almost that contrarian view. Keep going with the sectors anyway, because I think it's looking good.
Something still to keep an eye on and watch for some of the good stocks within that sector. Be very mindful of the penny dreadfuls in that sector. They can wipe you out. So looking at financials, financials are not through their all-time high either. So still upside potential there at the moment. And also we're looking at... The bounce that we've recently had on the overall market, we've also seen here on the financial sector. So we'll just show you that there. You can see about 8% decline. The recent pullback on the financial sector has been quite solid. But look, it's bounced back quite quickly. So that's positive to see for the financial stocks. But look, I'd like to see a little bit further pullback. We may not get it. A move through this recent high would be a sign that the financial sector's poised to take out this broader high, the all-time high. So still looking okay on the financial sector. Healthcare, a boomer, gone through the all-time high on the healthcare chart, and this is dominated by some of the big ones. You know, we've got ResMed, CSL, you've got Sonic Healthcare, some of these big stocks, Cochlear, that have done really well, that have been moving higher. Now, you know, these trends can run on and on for months and years at a time. But at the moment, we're just seeing a bit of a short-term slowdown this week. So that's to be expected. But still looking good in healthcare. Information technology, well, very volatile. The stocks in this sector, some of the ones that dominate it, may not be as liquid. And therefore, you can see
what's
these
the one that dominates
moves.
This one? Is it CPU?
Computershare is one bigger stock, but it's Iris, I think, is one stock that's also in the sector as well.
Computershare is much bigger than Iris.
Look, I don't follow a lot of those stocks. I tend to be more focused on energy, mining, financials, healthcare. But information technology is something that if you want to go and have a look at it, you can have a look and see what the constituent holdings are in the information technology sector.
Yeah, I was pretty sure computer shares, the one, like it's like Telstra in the communications, it sort of runs that sector, doesn't it, really?
Well, look, I mean, I was following that little stock Iris for quite a while because it's quite volatile, and some of the movements that you see on it Look, we've seen this big pullback recently, and I'll be interested to see what it does over the coming months there. Okay. But look, computer share is a big stock, and often people who follow computer share have done quite well out of it because it's a nice trending stock. But materials, a really big one, like energy sector, that's one that you really want to have on your list and be watching all the time. Mm. So here we're still well below that all-time high.
I know.
So there's still plenty of upside in here, even though we've seen this short-term volatility. So I'd say this is more about opportunity than anything.
It's interesting when you look at materials, like China's been slowing. It's halved its growth rate in the last 4 years, maybe 5 years, 4 to 5 years.
Well, it was at 11 or 13% or something.
No, it was up around 15 or 16.
Oh, did it get
that? Now it's around 6.
Look, all I remember is them saying that it was going to cause the, you know, it was going to break the back of Australia because China was going to have this major slowdown. And they talked it all the way down over years from the GFC.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
But nothing came to a crunch, did it?
No, it didn't.
You know, and even though it was fallen so dramatically.
They had a few stockpiles of things, but it really, it's still growing faster than any other economy in the world.
Mm.
So it's still growing. It just, if there was a bit more of an oversupply of resources in China, well then once that stockpile goes and they're still growing, they still need stuff from us. So but as I said, India's come up as well. India doesn't have an argument with China, do they?
No.
So and India's growing, I think it's around 5.5%, just a bit lower than China. Vietnam, I said on my report yesterday, it's about 5% as well.
I mean, you know, irrespective of all of that, you can't argue with what the long term chart's telling you, can you, the monthly?
No, and resources have been good over the last few years.
I guess the question is, when would someone be worried about this sector if they had shares in it? Well, not until it's actually, you know, come way back below this 12,000 point mark. Then if it went strongly below the 12,000 point mark, then, you know, I'd be a little bit more concerned about it. But at the moment, it's holding up. So look, still looking good. So there are likely to be some stocks that you want to be poised and ready for when they make their next move in that sector. Industrials has held up really well. You can see the chart there. I'll just quickly show you the monthly one expanded up. It's traded up really nicely. This is ticking along as the heartbeat for an economy and hasn't gone through the all-time high yet. So we've still got that to go. But as you can see, this is like we call a bit of a blow-off where the angle of the trend changed and accelerated quite strongly through that prior high back here in August or was it July. And now we've got to see a pullback because you want to see that pullback for it to be more sustainable, because look what happens here when we're getting close to all-time high, you know, making new all-time highs here, and the bars get quite stretched. We know there's going to be a reversal soon after, and we saw that, you know, occur on the chart. Now, although there is a bit of reversal here now, just like to see a bit of a test of these prior highs, just like the All Ords.
Well, they've been, industrials have done really, really well over this year, or last 6, 7 months, or 8 months of this year, whereas that's where your financials and your energy have been lagging to that respect. So you'd expect these to slow down and the others to speed up.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one, we've got consumer staples. It's always a good one. Mm. So in there, look, you know, for a long time we had Wesfarmers, Woolworths. Those stocks we were looking at for, you know, because they were the heartbeat of this sector and continuing to push the sector higher at the moment. Woolworths is doing really well at the moment.
Yes, it is.
And so we're seeing new highs being made in the sector at the moment. And look, I would say that given we've had a number of weeks up recently, it'd be nice to see a few bars back, just so that we can see that the rise is going to be maintained and it's not going to accelerate too far away, because you can see now that it has accelerated away quite away from the angle of the trend.
Mm.
So therefore, that's what you've got to think about. So, but a nice trend nonetheless. Pretty, actually, it fits in with the topic, doesn't it, for tonight? All these sectors that are trending really well.
Absolutely.
Look at the communication services sector. So we've got the code is XTJ. So we've got they're dominated by Telstra. And then we can see a strange sort of a move up and an almost equal in time decline and almost equal in price as well, which means that in theory, over the medium to long term, this should actually perform.
Very similar to Telstra, isn't it?
Yeah, it should perform. But look, at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit more downside on it in the short term. But looking at the closes are sort of sticking together. See, you've got these opens and closes
not dropping away much, even though the fundamentals, the announcement with Telstra the other week with its earnings, there were some downgrades and there wasn't necessarily some headwinds that they talk about. What are headwinds? Unless you're riding a bicycle, what's a headwind?
My opinion is headwinds for Telstra. I mean, the NBN's been an interesting one for them, but to me, it's always been about their customer service or lack of.
Correct.
But I have observed and heard different people talking about changes in Telstra.
And I was actually for years.
Well, I was actually also going past one of their retail shops not long ago when I was shopping, and I noticed that they were having a big meeting with all the young people that are involved in the business. And I thought, it looks really progressive. It looked more, the store looked fantastic, but they looked more like an Apple store.
I was about to say, they're trying to emulate the Apple stores, and they have been trying for a few years with their big Telstra stores or Telstra shops.
Yeah, and just the fact that they were having these group sessions, and I thought, wow, it's actually not behind closed doors because all the people in the shopping centre can see it, that they're doing this. So I thought that was really cool. Looking at the next sector, see, at the moment this looks poised to tell us whether it's going to go up or not. So we'd need to see a rise above this high for the sector, 1290, to be going higher. Now, utilities is a sector that's really interesting to watch, looking at that. So
I actually like this one.
You do? What do you like about it?
Because I like utilities.
I like the fact that this high is actually higher than that previous peak.
Yeah, there. It's quite... Utilities tend to be much more of a steady trending type of area. So you're looking at stocks in the utilities that tend to be good for underpinning your portfolio, for steady, good, steady growth. Not volatile growth, but something that
pays reasonable dividend.
Yeah, because when you're looking at utilities, you're looking at good revenue streams, the consistent revenue streams.
As long as the government doesn't tinker too much with it, which is what the concern has been over recent times and why it's become more volatile.
And I don't know about you, but my electricity bill and the gas bill and all those bills are
keep going up.
They keep going up. So the money's got to be going somewhere, and they really are sort of consistent performers, aren't they? Like AGL looks quite good. I know that's
one
that looks really, really good. So, but let's get back now. Is that it for your sector?
I think we're done there. Yep. And people might have questions, but we can answer those as well.
Yeah, we're going to get to some of our emails right now, and then we'll get into the chat as people have now putting in. I think there's a lot of questions there.
I hope you've got some good emails out there for us.
There's some ripper emails, actually. We've got a couple tonight, but because it is time to get into the emails that we received over the past few days, but thanks to everybody that sent them in. So the first one says, I forgot who it was from, it says, "Hi guys, hope you're both well. Welcome back, Janine. Hope you're brushing off the cobwebs. Was not too hard after the time off." And it's always a little bit hard and a bit more daunting, isn't it, after you haven't been doing it for a while?
I think that I was itching to come back and get on the show. And
she was itching to get back onto the show. It goes on to say, "As I've mentioned to Dale in a previous YouTube post when he kindly gave me his overview on Cleanaway and GPT, I'm currently trying to build my own growth portfolio. I have mixed results in the past, and I'm now ashamed to say that I'm one of those who got caught in the beginner's trap of buying speculative stocks." And in brackets, medical marijuana.
Okay, I remember when that floated, one of those companies floated.
Yeah, do you remember how many people were saying, "Let's get into marijuana"?
Yeah.
You know, then it was lithium before that and a whole range of other things. But and he goes, "And not applying any rules, for which I'm being punished in what I'm currently terming my old portfolio."
So that's one that you sort of, it's like baggage, is it?
Yeah, well, so what he bought some stocks, some illiquid stocks or speculative stocks as a good trade.
Right.
And as they unfolded, they turned into long-term investments.
Okay.
So they stopped being trades and now they're long-term investments.
Right.
That's what a lot of people do. They start out thinking they're trading, and when they don't go the right way, they become investments.
A monument to what happened.
Yeah, and it's like, well, it's also a warning sign not to do that again.
Yeah.
as well. But he goes on to say, "Anyway, as I rebuild my new portfolio, which now has three new stocks in there, WTC, JBH, and Cleanaway.
Yep, good choice.
Using Dale's book as my guide, I'm now searching for the most appropriate remaining two stocks from the top 100. His aim is to have five stocks as a starting point, and he's got about 10,000 in cash, so that's fine.
Now, I'm glad he said five stocks as a starting point, because some people, they read your book and think, oh, okay, Dale says I can divide it into five stocks, and then they forget the bit where you talk about the fact that then you gradually buy additional positions. You increase the five stocks until you get them to a decent size, and then start building your portfolio with more stocks between 8 and 12.
Yeah, and build it all out. And that's really why we did a lot of that portfolio stuff last week or over the last few weeks to help people, because...
Yeah, so if you didn't get to watch those, there's the recordings. You can always go and watch them.
So he's got $10,000 to invest, and now he's going to be adding around about $1,000 a month moving forward. And he'd just like our thoughts on ResMed and Woolworths as his final two stocks. So we're going to have a look at those for him. He's saying Woolworths is almost at an all-time high, so my thinking is to wait until it confirms a breakout above this before entering. And finally, sorry for the long email, and I've edited some of this, mate. I also have a balance of 11,300 in gold and silver. Now, I know a lot of people, he's got that in the Perth Mint, so he's got physical gold and silver in the Perth Mint, which he can do. He's in profit by 36%. Clearly, they're both bullish at the moment. Would like your advice on this, keeping this in the mint until they start to drop.
That's good that he's asked that, because you really do need to trade that.
Correct.
Gold and silver, if you have it, they're trading commodities rather than just sitting on them and buying and holding.
Yeah, I find a lot. Last month, I've had a lot of people saying, what about gold? Get into gold, saying and thinking it's a defensive if the market drops. Now, I keep saying to him, gold now is just like anything else you trade. It's not necessarily defensive anymore, because there is so much gold in the world. It's not funny. It's just in reserves. So
and it will fall away
anyway. So it really isn't. It's not necessarily a defensive move to get gold in your portfolio. It's one of those old things that people used to do: buy physical gold and keep it in a safe.
Yeah, look, an investor that I spoke to said that when they did our course, they were surprised when they were able to actually get a chart up and have a look at the gold price and see what's happened over the history of it, because they'd never done that before.
No, they'd never done that before, and a lot of people don't do that, but this person has got physical gold and silver in the Perth Mint, which you can actually buy. So he's actually got gold bars in the Perth Mint from that. But he goes, thanks, guys. Love the show. Keep it up. I may even sign up to your short trading course.
Haven't you made a decision yet?
He's been talking to Shane. Shane's awesome. So Shane's probably watching, so he'll probably say hello. The person's name is Paul. So let's bring up ResMed and Woolworths and have a little bit of a look at it.
The favourite part for me. Look, now we're looking at ResMed monthly chart on the left, of course, and we've got the weekly chart on the right. Now you can see that there's a nice long trend there that's happening on ResMed. The bigger picture, it's accelerated away really strongly there over the last couple of months. So particularly from around May through to the high there in September, nice and strong. But look, for after that many months up, it's going to have a few months down, at least one or two anyway, to pull back and test and just take a bit of a breather. So we're starting to see that could be happening now. It's the September, so often September, October, we can see pullbacks on stocks like this, Dale. And looking at it, it's already come back below the $20 mark. So $20 might be important for the stock. Note that it did stop and reverse at around $10. So I think that it's pretty logical to see a bit of a turn now.
Yeah, I mean, like the market, for 6 months it's gone straight up. And I remember with the market reports I was saying, when you get 6 months straight up on the Australian stock market, that's unusual. Mm. It's got to come back. And that's what we've seen.
Okay.
So our market's fallen about 6% from its high.
Yep.
So I would expect the same here.
Yeah, so looking nice still. I wouldn't be necessarily jumping out of it, because there's not a sort of set rule. And depending on what rules that you have, you've got to get... this is the thing. When you buy stocks, you've got to have some rules. Mm. Trailing stop losses, initial stop losses, that's what we teach in the course. It's really important that you're really confident in applying them.
Well, it's now, like driving a car without any brakes.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine if you drove a car without any brakes.
Yeah, well, look, I think some people, while the market's bullish, people think that, okay, it's going to keep running. And like a car, I guess we all take for granted that we're going to be able to stop it, isn't it?
Yeah. Imagine if you're driving a Ferrari down the street at 100 miles an hour and you've got no brakes.
So. I can see my hair flying back in that Ferrari.
You'd be doing it.
All right, now, Woolworths, looking at the left-hand side again, we've got the monthly chart as usual, and here it's interesting to see Woolworths challenging the all-time high, which is really quite exciting. We're really excited about this stock at the moment. It's had a nice run. I think that we could see a bit of a slowdown now. Last 4 weeks, it's stretching higher. It's really pushing to get up to that all-time high. Often stocks will pull back at or around the all-time high. So look, I wouldn't be buying it necessarily now if you haven't already got it, but if you're holding it, there's no reason to sell it.
We're talking about buying it once it breaks through the all-time high, but I'm thinking that's probably a little bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Given that its low was 2016, and so we're now, you know, four years down the track, pretty close to it.
Yep. So you're talking about market cycles now, aren't you?
Yeah, just a little bit about, like, it's due for a pullback, you know, in terms of over the next year or so, but it might only just get to that all-time high, break through it, you buy it, then fold away again, because it is going quite vertical, isn't it?
Mm.
So you may have left your run. And there's some other great stocks we'll probably see tonight, actually, that might be better stocks for you to put
into
that
portfolio.
But the
trend is the important thing, isn't it? It's trending
beautifully. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk a bit more about that later.
No, all right.
So how about we go to the next question? How's that?
Okay, please do.
Do you want to control this, or do you want me to do that?
No, I'll do that.
You're going to do that. Okay.
Could I please get your thoughts on the WAX stocks? Now, you love the WAX stocks, don't you?
I like the FANG stocks better, but the WAX stocks are pretty good. So.
Yeah, you just like all these trendy
terms. So WiseTech and Xero and I can't remember, Altium. And
So he's saying I hold Altium and Afterpay.
Afterpay,
Do you reckon they're about to run out of steam as they've been quite bullish this year? And that's from Matthew. Okay, Matthew.
Let's go and have a look at a couple of them.
Okay, so bring it up on the chart there.
I think I've got a workbook on my PC for all the WAX stocks from there. But Afterpay's been doing exceptionally well over, especially the last couple of weeks. It's gone, I think, more than 10% in the last week or two. The thing is, a lot of people will get into them too late. But I'm assuming that, Matthew, that you actually own some of these. Because you're asking about whether they're going to continue to go. But generally, when you're looking at stocks like this, Xero I do like because it's got an awesome business model. It's a very sustainable business model because obviously it's subscription-based with accountants.
Did you want me to bring businesses up Xero or stick to APT and Altium?
No, bring up Xero as well. Up. Whereas you're looking at anything that's in that, what do they call it? There's an acronym for it as well, but that buy now, pay later.
How's it spelled? It's not a stock I follow.
Xero.
Of course, got my spelling right.
Not Xero, Z-E-R-O. Sorry about that. It's spelled a little bit differently. Yeah. But anything in that sort of, as I said, buy now, pay later space, there's getting a lot more competition involved in all of that. And look at Xero. It does look a lot. It's going very, very well at the moment, and I think it's going to continue. But again, look at how vertical it is. Eventually, it's going to get too pricey for its fundamental valuation, and eventually it'll slow down a little bit. So
it's risen 88% from that low.
Yeah.
Not bad.
So I think if you're not in them right now, there's probably better stocks to buy that have been falling away.
Yeah, and Afterpay, look at the big move that we've just seen here, week 30th of August. Did you follow the news on that one?
No, I've just been following the stock because we know we've got it for some clients of ours, so I was just making sure it was doing all right. But in terms of
the trend, it's still up. So that's the main thing, is what you're
saying. No, they've been doing a deal with I think Visa at the moment. There was an announcement of Visa in its reports, and it did have a very good report. In terms of its growth and everything else.
Yeah.
But if you get 100% year on year, eventually you can't make 100% because it gets too big, the numbers. So things will slow down. But it has risen beautifully over the last few years. So if you're not in this, at the moment it is doing very, very well. But
where do you get out as well?
Correct.
Like, because it's blown off from any previous trough, and it's way above any trend line or trough that you could use as a stop loss. So that's the thing. You have to be very selective about your rules. And often stocks, where there's been a consolidation like this, often stocks will come back to test those previous movements. So we could see that as well.
But they are steadily becoming more, how do I say it, more normal.
Oh, accepted.
Accepted. Mm. And
just like using an ATM or using lay-by or whatever.
Well, they're being more normal. But you've got to look at most of the people using some of these buy now, pay later are the young people.
Yeah.
They're the ones using it, not necessarily people like you and me. I don't use Afterpay. I've never used a buy now, pay later. If I can't afford it, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
And that's what we were taught.
Correct.
And so that's how we work. We don't use our credit card unless we've got the money in the bank, whereas a lot of the young people are just, I'll just get it, I'll get it, and that's what they're doing. Yep. And so it's a little bit of, I might say it's a high-risk model, but it's unsecured type of lending. But Afterpay, you've got to pay the money back. I think it's over 4 to 8 weeks or something, or three months max.
And I think it's up to $1,000, I think, that they...
I might be up to $5,000, but I can't remember. There's a few of them, like Z1P is another one. That does it. Does that sort of lending?
Look, you're right in saying. Look at the angle of that. It's just, it's huge. And look, now you can see it started to slow down. This earlier stretch where it's risen really strongly, it rose quite significantly. Let's just have a look at how far. Just say roughly 360%.
Yeah.
And the next one now is just, it's slowed down a bit to the next point. 80, still a good return, but it's slowing down. And now we're seeing an even smaller one. So.
Yeah. Because probably the easiest way to figure it out is if everybody's talking about the stock, that means it's probably too late.
Yeah.
And that's really, because most people get it wrong. Mm. And normally people get in at the last end of it. The smarter people got in a long time ago. So
I mean, looking at the current price, mm. I mean, there's a, you know, if you're already in it and you had a nice profit in it, it's still a bit too far in terms of the trailing stop. So I'd be watching to see if I got another confirmed trough that I could use as a trailing stop there.
Okay.
But look,
so let's move on.
That's Altium. Of course, that's not personal financial advice at all. It's just a comment on Altium and where you can have stop losses. But I think some people are following our comments and keeping records of, because I had a conversation with someone else who said, oh, but you said that was a good place to put a stop loss. You roll
they
your
do,
eyes.
They do. They go, no, it was just because yesterday, if you watched today's US stock market report that I did with my interview with Jim Beach yesterday, so I do that with him. And it went up, and one of the first things he said, Dale, he said, oh, what the market last week, he said, everything you said, it happened with the stocks and the market and everything else. He said, that was brilliant. And it's like, and then somebody commented saying, oh, you know, it's great that you get it right. And I go, well, at least I got it right that time.
Yeah.
Like I said, getting it right, getting direction right and picking the future direction of a stock or making predictions is not hard, but you have to have three things. One, you have to know how to do it. And the second thing is you need to come under the assumption that you're never going to get it right all of the time. If you think you're going to get it right all the time, you're going to stuff yourself up. And I won't tell them the third one.
Well, look, I'll give you a third one.
Oh, you're going to do
What's
the third
point
one?
In being able to pick direction unless you do anything about it? So, like, I hear some people talking about it. And what are they doing about it? That's what I say to them on the phone.
Yeah, and we get a lot of people saying to us, you know, hey, what do you think about this? But then they don't take what we say to them anyway. So
are
why
we too
ask
hard
the question?
Taskmasters, do you think?
I don't. You probably
Maybe
call us a hard taskmaster.
Put that on the chat that we are.
Yeah, but it gets down. I'd rather people not lose the money and make the money.
I know. We want to encourage people to get it right.
Yeah, if we butter it up and pander to people's egos, then we might not be doing the right thing by them.
Actually, one of our students said to me recently that she was really grateful that I pushed her to do her plan right, you know, get her plan documented right. Because it's not it's easy to look at a chart and look at things technically. It's not easy to actually have the discipline to document your plan, is it?
You got to do it. All right, so let's keep moving on because we need to get...
You've got the next one?
We've got one next one. It's more of a question rather than a stock analysis, but this one's from Samantha. She said, hi, Dale. Listen to your podcast on my drive to work. So glutton for punishment, Samantha, listening to me on the way to work. but that's fantastic you do. She said, I just got a copy of her latest book last week. Thanks for all the important information you're sharing. Around 60% of my portfolio is BHP shares, which I purchased for $33.50 on average and have held for more than 5 years. 40% of my portfolio is ANZ shares, which I've held for over 3 years and purchased an average of $28.90. Now I've learned I need to diversify my portfolio. I wonder whether I should be selling 40% of my BHP shares now and 20% of my ANZ at a loss, and diversify when the market picks up again. Any advice would be appreciated. So really that's about portfolio construction. So if a stock's going up, if it's 60% of your portfolio, then I wouldn't worry about it. I just have the downside risk protected with stop losses. So you're going to quickly have a look at BHP and ANZ, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I thought that you might like to. I wasn't sure.
But your risk is quite high because you obviously got 60% in one stock and 40% in another. So you do need to diversify that, but I wouldn't necessarily sell if they're both starting to move up. Now, ANZ does not look anywhere near as strong as what BHP does, and of the banks, my preferences are obviously Westpac and Combank, with Combank
being
more preferred.
But if we got a portfolio in and someone had two stocks, and that's or three stocks or whatever they had, we would be selling.
We'd have to because of the rules we have
to
have.
Because the model that we have in the mandate. But even so, I mean, in general, you know, you've got to be looking or preparing to sell and then be thinking further ahead, don't you, about the fact that you know that you need to have between 8 and 12 stocks in a portfolio eventually. So it's just a question of timing then, isn't it?
So the other question is, well, how are you going to balance it out? If you don't downsize some of that, are you going to add more cash to your portfolio? If you are, then you might be able to put that into other stocks to bring those weightings down without having to sell them. So if you've got, let's say you've got $50,000 that you can put into that portfolio and buy another three or four stocks with that, it might balance out those weightings to make it a little bit easier.
Because I'd also have a look at, okay, if you've got 60% of your capital in one stock, I'd be looking at, okay, if it falls 5%, what does that mean to me?
It's huge.
Straight away.
It's a huge.
Like, it's fine to look at it on the upside and say, okay, if it goes up, then I've made, you know, X amount. But it's the downside risk that we really need to be looking at.
Mm. I mean, she's done really well on BHP over the last couple of years, but she's had it for 5 years.
Yeah.
And the average price is around $33.50, I think, from memory.
But what if she bought it here and held it for 5 years? You know, it's just
She's gone through that anyway.
You know.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's gone through that hold anyway, because she averaged about $33.50, and she's been holding for five.
Yeah, yeah.
ANZ, she's been holding for three, and most of that time ANZ's been going down.
Cause, well, 5 years would have been, what, 2014, somewhere in here. What you're saying is she's held it for part of the loss and it's just recovered some of what it's lost.
And all the banks were going down March, April 2015, right through till the end of last year. So she's held a couple of stocks while they were falling away. So I don't mind if you take some money off the table with BHP. I mean, I really don't, because it's been really bullish. It's still above your average price. It is a tiny little bit more bearish now, but long term, I think BHP is still really good though.
Yeah, look, there's really strong support across here.
Yeah,
I mean, if
huge.
You look at this level here, it doesn't mean it's going to hold completely in the short term, but, you know, it is a good level. And like we said, we like the materials sector and we think it's still got further on the upside. But, you know, it's all about your comfort factor. And one thing I remember is when I started learning about the share market, I didn't realise what my risk was until I started learning about it.
Yeah.
And I realised that I wasn't that comfortable with what I had done. And so therefore, sometimes it's better to change and start heading in the direction that you want to head in when you realise that, rather than
just people don't understand risk and how to even assess risk anyway. But let's keep moving on. Let's have a quick look at ANZ, because I've got to have a look at the chat.
Yeah, sure. Okay, ANZ, we're having a look at the monthly chart first. I mean, it's really done nothing over it. So it's at the same price it was trading at in 2015 and only just higher than where it was in 2010. So, okay, you get the dividends, and if you're getting the franking, that would, you know, be a reasonable return for retirees. But from someone who wants growth, it's not done really anything to help you unless you use it as a
trading
stock.
It's teaching Sam that buy and hold hasn't been working for her.
Yeah,
the other question is, there's three parts of it. Obviously, if you do hold, what do you do if it does fall away? The other one is, if you do, if you sell, what are you going to do with the money? So what other stocks are you going to put the money in to balance that out? So you need to look at that. And also, obviously, the tax position that you have. If you're in profit with BHP, maybe if you sell some of those down, you can look at offsetting some of those profits on BHP with selling some of the ANZ at a loss to balance that out. Now, that's something you need to go and talk to an accountant about. But right now, you do understand that you really need to balance your portfolio a bit. If you've got some cash to add to it, then do that to help balancing it out. Put some cash into other stocks to balance it out. So it's not an easy answer, if that makes sense. But it's not too complex, though. It's just balancing and getting a few more shares in it and following the rules in the book and not holding on for too long. But let's have a quick look at the chat.
I was just going to say, because we were talking about if it fell away, what we'd be looking at. I mean, I'd like to see it get above this $28.30 mark.
So would I.
If I was holding it and it got above that level, I'd be really confident about it continuing to move higher. But if it goes below this level, this low here, then I'd be thinking that there's a greater probability that it's going to come back and test that low, and I wouldn't be comfortable with it.
Yeah, and as I said, my preferred bank, and I'm pretty sure yours are, Combank and Westpac.
Yep.
They're the two ones we're preferring
Macquarie.
At the moment. And Macquarie, yeah. So let's have a quick look at the chat before we get into tonight's subject.
Awesome.
I'm sure there's been a lot of posts in here. We've got one here from Craig Radford. He said, "Hi Dale, I haven't heard Craig Radford's name before, so welcome, matey. Not sure if your first show or your first post. Hi Dale, great show and products." Okay, obviously you bought something from us, so thank you very much. Very insightful information. Wondering, should you use a fixed or trailing stop? And if you could look at Bapcor stock and thoughts. So you can answer that one, the trailing stock.
Okay, Bapcor, are we going there first or not?
Yeah, we can do that, but you can talk about stops and trailing stops.
Trailing stops are fantastic. I mean, it's really important to differentiate between initial stop loss and trailing stop loss. So initial stop loss, obviously, is when you first get into a stock, and then you've got to make sure you're managing your risk.
Well, we did that.
And so you're setting
4 weeks. 4 weeks ago, I think we talked about stop losses.
So you can go back and have a look at that. And that's just to make sure that you know how much you're risking when you're in a trade. So you're controlling that risk. The other part is the trailing stop for protecting your profit. So this is about managing the trade once you're in it. So it's about having an understanding of how you're going to manage the risk and preserve your profits or protect your profits when the stock's moving up. And there's multiple rules that you can use for that.
He's sort of asking a distinction, fixed stop loss or trailing stop loss, because like setting an arbitrary figure to say if it goes to this plane, I'll get out.
Well, you can fix a stop loss. If, say, for example, if the stock price has risen above, it's been trending, so it's in a nice trend, you could decide to put a base level under that, and if it goes below it.
But that's a moving target too, because if it rises high, we'll
then you've
got to
keep
up.
Going. So it's not completely fixed, is it?
Yeah. So that's really.
So he's talking about a price point, isn't he? Like if it rises to this level, fix a stop loss and exit. That's the only fixed one.
Well, it's either fixed or trailing, and yeah. the answers, as you can see, we're struggling
with this because we don't use a fixed.
Everything we do is a moving target, and that's done by knowledge and experience with rules around it. So because you've got to trade in the now with the market, and you've got to trade with everything you know and all the information you know, and that's what we teach our traders, is tomorrow there'll be more data and we'll change our opinion on something, or quite possibly, and next week there'll be more data, we might change it slightly again. But it's always going to be around rules. So we're always looking at our exit strategies on stock. So we're always going to be trying to protect profit, and we'll definitely always be protecting capital. So whilst we have an initial stop loss that Janine mentioned, that I talked about in a previous show in the last month or two, which you can go and watch if you haven't seen that one, there's always a way to fix it, to put your stop losses in to trail your profits up so you capture most of that. So it's almost about, what fits the situation today better?
Yeah, and two questions that you can ask. One, for an initial stop loss, is how much am I prepared to risk? So that will help you with that. And the other one is, how much am I prepared to give away in terms of my profit if the stock does pull back, so that you know where you're at all times.
So let's look at Bapcor, otherwise we'll be here for 3 hours now.
Bapcor.
Everybody will be excited, but their wives will be yelling at them.
No, you need to give me the code for that.
BAP.
Bapcor. Oh, Bapcor, yeah, okay.
Yeah, have a really quick look at this. And I'll look at the chat while you're doing it.
Okay, so look, I mean, interesting stock. From the point of view that there was this sideways consolidation, I like to see these moves where we're coming to an apex and then the stock breaks out. But quite often we can see a pullback to test that. The monthly chart shows that. Looks really nice at the moment, though, on the monthly chart. I'll just go to the weekly chart so we can see what it's doing more recently. Now, a nice downtrend there. You will have been able to get a trend line in there. It will have crossed that, and the trend has started to move up. So while the stock's rising and it's trending, then you would be wanting to stay with it. I mean, that's the whole idea of trading, is to stay with a stock that's rising and then just look to see where that trend is likely to change. And then if the trend is changing, then you can manage risk and look to take an exit. So using a trailing stop loss, as we were just talking about then. So BAP looks good at the moment, Dale. Have we got another one?
Let's go into, now I think we need to have a look at our topic for today, actually.
Okay,
otherwise,
great.
We won't get through to it.
Because
so
we've got quite a lot, haven't
we? We do have quite a lot, and we've covered a lot of the questions. There was somebody wanting a bit on Telstra, BHP, ResMed, and we've brought up all those stocks. We haven't brought up Telstra, but we did look at the sector, and Telstra is the sector. So whatever we talked about on the sector is going for Telstra at this point in time. So we've covered a few of the questions in there. But tonight's topic is how to identify trends in the market, or trend trading the easy way. Now, no doubt, some of you will have heard that trends represent the basic foundations of trading any market. Now, sayings such as the trend is your friend and always trade with the trend are really commonplace in many books or courses about the share market and trading. But unfortunately, the 90% of individuals who lose money in the markets today do so because they unknowingly break from this basic foundation of trading by counter-trend trading, or trading counter to the trend, or the opposite direction to the prevailing trend.
So when trading the stock market, the carved in stone rule that you must always remember is this. Now listen carefully. All trends conform to a longer term existing trend. So for example, if a stock has been in a long term downtrend, say for 2 years, there's a high probability it will continue to fall. In fact, you'll be, just listen to this one, the probability is as high as 80 to 90%. So if after falling for, say, 2 years, the stock then turns and rises for 5 weeks, and this is all in Dale's book, the probability that it's starting a new uptrend is only 10 to 20%. Now, unfortunately, at this point in time, many people, they're going to fall into a trap of believing that a new uptrend's unfolding and attempt to buy at the bottom, because it's based on a fear of missing out on this potential rise. It's sort of like that fear and greed thing that You know, you want to try to get in as early as possible, and sometimes that's not the best way. The cold reality is that often the market turns down again. So this is where you can get caught out, causing the individual to suffer more losses. Now, acting on this low probability of a potential change in trend is not conducive to good trading. I don't need to tell you that. You've probably worked that out yourself.
Very much so.
You should always trade with the trend, not against it. So trade with the money. So let's look at how you would do that.
Okay, so when prices rise for a period of time and then fall away, a crestal peak is formed. But on the other hand, when prices fall for a period of time and then rise once again, they form a low, which is more commonly known as a trough.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, so we need to bring up...
Are you going to give them an example?
Yeah, so I'm going to give them an example here. So this is an example of that. So therefore, an uptrend is a result of rising movement in market prices, which is conformed by a series of higher peaks and troughs. Now, as you can see on the chart of Cochlear, it has a series of higher peaks and troughs. And a rising stock like this is said to be bullish, indicating that there are more buyers than sellers. Meanwhile, a downtrend is caused by a falling movement in price, a falling movement in the market prices, and is confirmed by a series of lower peaks and troughs. Now, as you can see here on the chart of Telstra, this is an up-to-date chart of Telstra. There are a series of lower peaks and troughs. And, oops, no, there, where are they?
There they are. So it's all these lows.
Scroll it up a bit. You probably
scroll it up.
There you go. And now expand it out. You can see all the lower peaks and troughs there. I've just missed the chart, but there's a lot of lower peaks and troughs, and this indicates a falling stock. Now we know Telstra fell away for many, many, many years. So a falling stock, on the other hand, is said to be bearish, indicating that there are more sellers than buyers.
Makes sense.
Hmm.
A major consideration when investing over the long term is the direction of the trend over the long term. So this is what you've got to look at, and that's why we always start at on the monthly chart, and to a lesser extent, the medium term. So therefore, just you'll gauge a lot of what you need to know by analysing the trends of a stock on the monthly chart. Now, I hope we've drummed that into you enough. If, however, you are trading over the medium term, the major consideration is the direction of the trend over the medium term and, to a lesser extent, the shorter term. So many people are fixated on the shorter term, and that's where you're probably getting it wrong. Given this, you will gauge a lot of what you need to know by analysing the trends of a stock on a weekly and monthly chart. So try and ignore the daily one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people see that noise. They really look at the daily movements and they start to panic, whereas you really do need to look at the big picture. And in fact, the biggest thing that I loved about one presentation you did about 2 years ago for our students is you had a picture of a street in New York with taxis people everywhere. And then the next picture was like a helicopter above the whole city of New York, and you saw Central Park, and you go, what's the different perspective here? And that's the same with charts. There's too many people are right on the street seeing all the noise. But when you get up above, you just see it more peaceful
and a
little bit easier. Mm. And I love that those two pictures that you put. But the major consideration when investing over the short term is the direction of the trend over the medium term. Therefore, you'll need you gauge a lot of what you need to know by analysing the trends of a stock on a weekly chart. So that said, it still pays to confirm the longer term trend by reviewing the monthly chart. Now remember, just as the train from France to Italy may stop, start, or even be delayed or diverted, it will eventually end up in Italy. Now by reviewing the monthly chart, you'll be able to gauge the direction and length and the strength of each trend of lesser degree. Remember that length, the direction and strength of each trend of lesser degree.
Now, when viewing a chart, you'll be able to tell that the price of a stock is rising if it has successively higher bars. On a monthly chart, stocks that rise over three or more consecutive months are said to be in an uptrend. But on a weekly chart, this equates to 12 or more bars moving in an uptrend. And obviously, this statement isn't flawless, as a stock can rise for 3 months or 12 weeks and then move sideways or down. So that's something to watch for. However, it does provide a starting point from which you can analyse the strength of a stock. Got to have somewhere to start, don't you?
You do. So let's go and look at some examples of that. Now, the monthly chart of Aristocrat Leisure on your screen now represents the stock as it rose in price from 2003 to today. Like, I actually did this chart today. So it's got yesterday's data in it, and it's possibly got today's data in it, where the trend changed from down to up before returning to trade in an uptrend again. Now, in effect, it represents the consensus of thousands of investors over a period of 16 consecutive years. And as the stock trended up from 75 cents to $17.68 in February 2007, then down to $2.10 in September 2011 before rising back up to $33.06 in July 2018. So it's really volatile, this stock, and trending really well. Now, depending on your confidence level, you might have entered the stock sometime late in 2003 after it had been trending up for more than three consecutive months. But even if you had waited until sometime in early 2004, when the price of the stock was approximately $2.70, way off the low, you would have still made around 360%, excluding dividends, before selling in 2007, at a point where the stock had fallen more than 30% in price. Now, you can do this using very conservative entry and exit rules. Now, not every stock will give you this sort of profit, but most blue chip companies usually yield around 20 to 50% or more in growth in an uptrend. Now, as you can see on the chart, we placed the next entry in 2012 at $3.25 based on the same rules. And again, the profit is quite impressive at nearly 1,000%.
So, what is the monthly chart of Westpac telling us? Once again, this is representative of a solid blue chip stock that has trended up nicely between late 92 and to today. So it's by over 1,500%, excluding dividends. And while there have been many opportunities to profit from this stock over the past 25 years, with the stock rising between 20 and 50% or more over a few months to around 3 years, we've shown just one trade on this chart using the same simple rules we applied on Aristocrat, with the trade making just over 40% in 2 years. So generally, the top 50 stocks by market capitalization, listen to this, produce very steady uptrends that are easy to identify. And our stocks out to the top 150, are a little more volatile and therefore require more diligence on your part if you want to choose to invest in them. Now, outside of the top 150, it's even more volatile again. So as with any stock, there's always an element of risk, but the educated investor can minimise this risk. Remember, you can always sell if you are wrong in your analysis. It's an interesting point.
It is, and that's the thing is a lot of people is that they get too hooked up, as we talked about, on that daily view and not looking at the big moves. And I don't know about you, but if there's a Mack truck coming down the highway and I'm in its road, I'm getting out of the road.
Yeah.
And really, if I'm in a mini mine, I'm getting out of the road even faster.
I don't think you'll be faster.
Don't be faster. Well, I might be more nimble than the Mack truck, okay. But you get the point. And all too often, people trying to stop the momentum of a stock. And that's what I often say to journalists, you know, when they say, you know, like, well, what do you think this is happening? And I said, well, one day doesn't make a sheep station. So you don't get rich on one day's news. It's about long-term momentum of stocks and markets, and that's really where.
But that's where it's interesting to look at these charts, like you've shown them, because it's showing what happens over the medium to long term. It's not saying that to buy and hold and you're going to get this result. That's not what it's about. It's just talking about being able to trade these trends and make profits out of them, and avoid those big losses and declines when the trend changes, and being able to recognise those trend changes. That's where it's important.
But hopefully, the one thing that people got out of this bit tonight is that most people don't even understand what trends are, and they're not trend trading,
or how to recognise when it's changing.
How to recognise,
you know, most of the time that people, realise the stock's falling down, it's usually fallen at least half of what it's going to fall, if not almost to the bottom.
Most people practice the buy and pray method. They buy and pray it's in a trend.
That's why the biggest falls happen towards the bottom, don't they? Even that chart of Westpac you had up, you can see that a lot of the big falls happen either right after the top, or right near the bottom.
Now let's get back into the chat, because we've got about another 10 minutes or more.
Fantastic.
So let's
There's
have a bit of
a. There.
There is so many questions, and as I said, we've covered
You're
a lot of them.
Keeping Dale on his toes there.
You are. We've got one.
Do you need a magnifying glass?
No, I've got my these are my really good glasses, and you're looking quite clear at the moment. So I might even be able to pick little hairs out of your ears one day. So we've got Michael said, "Hi guys, we're looking at buying Santos next week sometime. But should I wait for the market to pull back? Cheers, love the show." So you want to bring up Santos?
Look, Santos is a great stock. Oh, fantastic. Another energy-related stock,
also,
mining.
Can you type in Maya? Because we've got Paul Chadowez. I can't
Did
say
you
your
say
name,
Maya?
Yeah, Maya.
Okay.
We'll bring that one up as well, and we'll talk about that. So we're going to talk about Santos first, and then we'll go into Maya.
So we've got Santos up on the screen. Now, as we were just talking then, we've got the monthly chart. You can look at the trends there.
I actually like this stock.
You like this stock? From what point of view?
Because it's going up.
I know. Okay, so in terms of Santos, did he have a specific question? I missed that.
No, he's looking at buying it next week. I'm not sure why he's saying next week.
We're not going to tell you whether to buy or not. It's your call. But actually, it looks really good this week with this move up. Actually, particularly, most of that's probably today, is it?
Yeah, most of it's today.
So see, there was a lot of indecision before that, but it's actually pushed through really nicely now.
And interesting, so, with the day today, it was a bit bearish on the market all over the place. So yeah, it's not a bad day.
So it does look good now. It's probably in the clear from the resistance here. So yeah, I like it. I think that it's probably going to go to around that $9, maybe $10 mark. Yep. It's good upside on Santos. Looking at Myer, this has been a stock that I've thought, you know how you said years ago Telstra was a dog stock and you called it, I'm going to replace the code TLS with DOG.
Okay, yep.
Okay, this one actually takes the cake, because I think Myer has taken on that DOG code. But more recently, is it turning a corner? That's a question. I mean, retail's getting bagged left, right and centre at the moment.
But they're better. The retail are getting more. You've got good reports from Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi.
But you
else.
Know why? Because on international markets, they were focusing on retail. And so when that, notice what happens over on US markets and UK markets, when they start talking about specific sectors, the fund managers in Australia all of a sudden say, oh, we need to be talking about this. Mm. Or we need to be doing something in this area. So just keep an eye on
that. I did the recordings I do for the trading mentor students when I actually analyse a stock. I did Myer last week.
Okay.
So I did do that, and it was about a 35, 40 minute me pulling Myer apart.
Yep.
And I did it to alert them to a few different things and how it works.
How volatile it is as well.
And using the theories we teach you in that course, how you could have traded and still doing really well. And I had one gentleman who's an accountant who said to me, but the fundamentals are terrible. And I emailed him back saying, yeah, but it's going up. Mm. And the fundamentals will lag it eventually. And so eventually the fundamentals will change. But I wasn't saying to buy. But 2 days later, they came up with some better news.
Okay.
So, and
so
like,
timing is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because this stock could blow the profits on other stocks.
It's not highly liquid.
It's
a bit low liquid at the moment, but it's
Here it was in it was starting to move up, and then it just went pear shaped. But what you're saying is now you think it's going up.
I think it's a little bit better. I'm not sure it's going to be long term bullish. What I was saying to the students is, we traded this using the rules in the Trading Mentor course. Now, for $2,000 course, it was just seriously, we made money on this stock.
Yeah.
And so just on one stock. And that many times when I do these analysis for people in that course, in those stocks for that, we make five times that kind of money quite easily using the
but
rules
we're teaching. But not everybody watches it.
No, because they're not students of the Trading Mentor course.
Okay.
This is only stuff I do for the Trading Mentor course. So we actually pull a stock apart and apply. They watch me applying everything. And I'm talking about it. And this is the one I did. But just one trade will pay for the course.
Yeah.
That's what
I was sort of saying.
And even with a bearish stock, we still
But how would you classify this from a risk point of view in terms of its volatility?
It's high risk. It's definitely higher risk because it's lower
higher
liquidity.
Risk, not, yeah.
Not high, high risk, but it's higher because the liquidity is a bit lower on it because it's been falling for so long. But eventually what goes down comes up and the opposite happens. So to me, it does look really, really good. But let's go on to something else now.
Yep. What have we got?
Have we done CSL today?
No.
No, with Brython said, with CSL rising this year as much as it has, I'm now in the position that is now 40% of my portfolio. That is awesome.
Wow.
This is outside your recommended weighting of 20%. Should I take some profit thoughts? I think we've already answered the guys, Shane or somebody's actually answered that for you, Brython, so I won't go into that. So we'll just have a quick look at CSL.
We looked at the healthcare sector. That's what you're thinking of, because the chart of CSL is pretty much the healthcare sector. Looks fantastic weekly chart, still trending up. I wouldn't necessarily be looking to buy it now. Dale, you feel the same way because it's had a good run. But it's more if you're in it already, then you just run with the trend, really.
Yeah. Let's scroll down. There's a whole lot of chats between Brython and that. So, hey, guys, from Adrian Sutherland Chettle. He said, hey, guys, had a question about new micro trading apps as a way to get into the share market. These are usually apps such as Raise or Comsec Pocket. So, you know, those ones where you put $5 in or they up 50 cents and then they put it into ETFs for you.
So
I actually answered that for somebody the other day, and I said, if you're a young person, 18, 19, 20, just a really young person, you don't have much spare cash, they're great to get you started. But anybody older than that, forget about them. Just save up $1,000 and put it directly into shares, because the amount of fees on those ETFs and everything else, you're not going to get great returns. They just get you into a habit, which
they're,
is great.
They're low, but I agree with your last point about getting you into a habit of not thinking about portfolio construction, doing it properly, and then just being getting the average, the market average. That's really what you're getting.
Yeah, so you're just getting, you're going to get really average returns, but it's starting to build stuff up, so I think it's great. But if you're a bit older and you've got a little bit more spare cash, just save up $1,000.
Some young people, they like to have a bit of BHP, you know, stocks that they know and companies that they're familiar with, a bank, you know.
Well, the guys, I think they know my thoughts on index ETFs.
Yeah.
You know, I've had enough questions on those for them to know my thoughts on them from there, but it's good. But they are good to get people into a good habit. GLAPS says, hi guys, I've never heard of GLAPS. G-L-A-P-P-Z. No, that's not a stock, that's the person's name.
Okay, can you please give me another code?
APX, Appen.
APX.
Hi guys, thank you for all your assistance as usual. What do you think about Appen, current position, buy potential?
Yeah. This is an interesting one. I had a look at this recently. You know, really strong trend. It's already run. It's one of those, the stories Dale mentioned before, that where it's being talked about in the media, and it's had a good run. Right now, it's heading back to fill this gap there on the weekly chart, and I'd say it's going to head back towards the $20 mark. Looking at it, if it stays down this week particularly or next week, then we could see that happen. So a lot of resistance around there. So I think right now I wouldn't be looking to buy it. I'd want to see it start moving back above $27 or $28 really strongly. So that's APX.
Yeah, we've got a question here. Where was it?
Is it a stock question or a more general?
No, it's from, I think there was a Money Flow Index.
Tech Money Flow, Graham?
Yeah, he says something. I can't even see where it was.
Shane,
it was about,
answered and said, we don't use Tech Money Flow Index or RSI.
Yeah, the Chalk and Money Flow Index or RSIs. We actually
lagging indicators.
Yeah, we don't use them. Shane was right. They are lagging indicators, so we don't use
those. Well, that's
those.
Why we're teaching you how to read the trend or talking to you about reading the trend.
We've got Zane Dixon saying, what online broker would you recommend? Your bank, Simple.
Yeah.
From that point of view. Really, let's get on to... There's a whole lot of stuff in, isn't it?
Gee, they're asking some big questions.
Yeah.
You've encouraged them to ask questions rather than just type in stocks, and now you're struggling to find
Amanda Mack, PCK is a new app developed which can read pain on patients with Alzheimer's disease and children.
Right.
First of its kind, I purchased at 25 cents and it's going well. Do you see this continuing in the future? So PCK is a stock.
You want to look at
so
it?
So it's probably more of a micro cap stock. And some of those turn out to be great stocks. I mean, obviously, CSL and Cochlear were once micro sort of caps, and this one really is. But it's really, really gone. So hopefully you've got in really, really early.
So would you buy a stock because it's a good cause?
Yeah, but I wouldn't put a lot into it.
Mm.
You know, I think if I wanted to support. But buying the stock now, it's you're not supporting the company because none of the money of buying the stock to that company. It's only if it's raising capital, then you're putting it into the company.
Okay.
So it's called...
So buying the stock, you're actually just sealing a profit for someone who's already bought it, is what you're saying, isn't it?
That's what you're actually doing. Somebody else is getting out and you're sealing the profit and you're handing them the money pretty much. But right now it looks all right, doesn't it?
So if you were in it, you'd stay in it?
Yeah, if I was in it, I'd be staying
in
it.
But I'd be wanting to know how you're going to set your stop loss. So that's one of the things that I'd challenge you to... think about, because the last trough is 40% down, so you really literally have to wait for the next trough to form to see how you're going to set your stop loss or use a percentage. But there's other things you can do with short-term trading, which we can't go into here, but that's something to be mindful of with a stock like that.
Yeah, that's fine. We've got a couple more questions. We've got one, where is
What's
it?
What's the one about brokerage?
We've got one from Junior Cyclist. Is howdy guys, your viewer, new viewer. I'm 15 and trade with zero brokerage in the US markets. I swing trade primarily. Any advice? If you're trading with zero brokerage, they're making money in the spread with you. So you are actually paying for it. Generally, when you're offering zero brokerage, it's between the bid and the ask price. There's a bigger spread, so they're taking that. And so sometimes it's actually more expensive than actually paying brokerage. But our advice is don't trade the US. You're better off trading Australian stocks. At this point in time, but also really our advice is get an education first, because you're safer. You need to make sure your money's in an Australian bank account, and that's probably not what's happening, because if your money's not in an Australian bank account, then ASIC, the ACCC, the ombudsman's, the what do they call it, APRA, who regulates the banks. None of those will care one iota about it if your money's sitting with an overseas entity in an overseas bank account or an overseas broker. They don't care if you lose your money or what's gone on or how they've treated you. That's you to take action with that company overseas, and that's too costly. So that's one of the main reasons why we constantly say to people, just use Australian brokers and Australian systems. That way you're always protected by ASIC, APRA, the ACCC. They're all there to look after you and making sure that you're being treated fair and equitably. So that's really, really important there. But I think we're pretty much, that's pretty much out of time. Yeah. So, but let's have a quick look. I think, we've pretty much covered most of the questions. I don't think there's too much that we've haven't covered tonight. We've gone over a lot of plays, haven't we? But I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show, and thanks for participating. If you'd like to see the show grow, remember, just share it. You know, hit that social media tabs and put it to your friends. The more people that join, the more we can share with you.
I think they have been.
Have they? Mm. Not enough. They need to be more. We want to have 1,000 people watching.
Also, make sure you put this show into your calendar so that you're back online next Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you can't be with us live next week, we're always happy to receive your questions, so send them to info@wealthwithin.com.au and just type Wealth Within Live in the subject line.
Well, that does really bring us to the end of the show, and we really hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we have. As you can tell, Jenny and I have a lot of fun up here, and we go all over the place. And the more questions you ask, the more you challenge us, the more information we'll give you and impart, and hopefully everybody grows. But again, thanks for taking part. We'll see you again next Tuesday at 7 p.m.
And just remember, in 2 weeks, I'm going to give you my secret tips.
Oh, yeah, you're on your own. Next week, it's Jenny and I. Then I'm having a holiday, and Janine's going to go rampant without me. So for now, goodbye, good luck, and good trading.
Bye for now.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is brought to you by Wealth Within, a global leader in stock market education. For more information on our courses or to listen to more Talking Wealth podcasts, head over to wealthwithin.com.au and click on the Talking Wealth podcast under the Learning Centre.